Oh, Jesus, in your name, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I don't know what you came for tonight.
Hallelujah, Lord.
But I came to praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see Rebecca again.
Yes.
She's getting to be a familiar face. Welcome.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. That's quite a bit before Revelation, so you'll be able to find it quickly. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to begin our reading at verse 1 through 3, 1 through 5. Let's call that 1 to 5. That'd be better. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Going down to verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Drop down to verse number 31. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening, in the morning, was the sixth day. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. Been in church for any length of time. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and they slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your presence in this house. God, we covet your anointing. We ask you, God, to allow your word, God, in every word that I speak, Lord Jesus, to come from that throne of grace. I ask you, God, that you give me wisdom. Give us the direction. Let us hear tonight what the Spirit has got to say to the church. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. May be seated. Tonight, by the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, Do You Have a Plan? Do you have a plan? In the beginning, prior to the existence of the world and the mind of God, it was He, God, who set forth the commencing of an ultimate plan. God's plan was to create a world wherein mankind, who he, God, would create, could dwell. And so in 6 days, according to the book of Genesis, God's plan was not only set into motion, but according to our Bibles, it was done. God set forth, he had an idea, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to accomplish it. And day after day, every purpose and plan that he'd set forth within that plan, he did it, and it was done. And yet in the due course of time, you'll find that God's plan was one that would not be without its setbacks. For in the process of time, it would be the serpent who would beguile Eve, and it would be Adam that would give heed to the voice of his wife, who together would partake of the forbidden fruit, And because of this, it was God who cast them both from the garden, thereby bringing upon the existence of all mankind a curse. The curse of sin. It'd be a tough place to be in. Could you imagine at one point of your existence feeling comfortable, feeling safe, feeling secure, having everything provided for you, having the presence of the Lord in your very midst, talking with God, walking with God, waking up in the morning and knowing that God was there. And suddenly, the tables turned. Everything went wrong. They partook of the forbidden fruit, which God forbid them to eat of. And the curse of sin struck the world. Cast from the garden. Cast from His presence. Go make it for yourself. Go figure it out all alone. I might be around, but I'm not going to be there like I used to be. But I believe that God did not leave we as His creation in that kind of a state of being. For God in His love, He chose and He set forth yet another plan. But this time, God's plan would be one that would open the door of redemption with a choice wherein we as a people of God would never have to look back. You ever had time in your life where you looked at your life? Maybe you looked at yourself in the mirror driving down the road. Maybe you just thought the thought. Maybe you were at work on your break. You ever had those times where you regretted things you did, things you said, places you've been, and what you've done? Wow. I remember my own self uttering words, "I wish I wouldn't have done it." Many times amongst my friends and close friends at times, "I wish I wouldn't have said that. That was bad." But just like words that leave our mouth, sometimes you can't take it back. So God opened up a plan of redemption that says, you know what? You can choose. If you take my plan, if you embrace my plan, you don't ever have to look back. You never have to go back. You'd only go ahead. And tonight, in view of the days and in view of the hour in which we ourselves as a people and as a church are living in, if you or I ever hope or if we desire one day to make heaven our home, I want you all, every one of you, I don't care what position in God you are, to know that unless it is you who in your own life, if you do not set forth a plan and how it is that you, my friend, will one day get there, I'm afraid to say that it will be you who then would or maybe even could risk the chance of never arriving there, that is, without with you first and foremost having a plan. We're going on vacation. This is what we're going to do. Yeah, we're heading to destination. Where are we going? I don't know. Figure it out. Well, do we need gas money, food money, hotel money? Are we staying with people? What are we doing? We're going. Want to come along? I don't want to go with you. You don't know where you're going. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is this. In our desire to one day make heaven our eternal home, this, my friends, saints, is not that which just falls upon our laps through our just a hope or maybe a simple desire, because if it is going to be you who's going to attain that eternal goal, then it's going to have to be you who in your life and during your life right up until the day that you die or the Lord returns for His church, that you, my friend, are going to have to set forth a plan in how it is that you are one day going to get there. I need to know where I'm going. I need to know what I have to do to get there. I have to have a plan. I need to be purposed. I need to understand my goal. I need to look ahead. The Bible tells us to look up, for your redemption draws nigh. I keep looking at the sidewalk and don't know where I'm walking and run into people. You get into trouble in our society for texting and driving. How about texting and walking? Our mall is a little bit small, but we were in a big town the other day and people were texting and walking. And suddenly they'd look up and they're right in front of you. You weren't paying attention. You'd have a collision. I have to have a plan. I want to go to heaven. I have to have a plan. James, the writer, the book of James, in the fourth chapter and the 14th verse, James 4 and verse 14 writes, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time And then it vanisheth away. I believe what this means is whatever way it is that you choose to view your life, or as to the purpose of your very being, or in your desire to want to live and to walk for the Lord, it's within the examination of your own ultimate desire and plan. The plan of one day being with God forever, that you, sir, madam, young person, first and foremost, are going to have to formulate, and then it's going to be you. It's going to be you who executes in your own life a plan with a purpose of one day arriving there. Are you catching the words I'm talking about? One day to arrive there, if I'm going to get there, if I'm going to make it there, if I'm going to be with God one day, if this is my plan, get there. Well, that sounds repetitive. It's purposed. I have to have a plan. How are you going to get there? What are you going to do to get there? What does God ask for you in your life to do to one day get there? It's almost like you willfully have to intend on executing and staying focused on a plan that will get you there. We talk about and we tease people sometimes that, oh, I've got ADHD and every other ADD and whatever you want to call it. I have all these initials behind. You don't even have to get a doctorate in college anymore. You can just have ADHD without it. And, you know, oh, look at that, shiny object. And you get drifting. I have to willfully purpose to go to heaven. I do. I got to be willful, not in my behaviors, but in my desire to get there. I have to make a plan, keep the plan, and keep on walking in that plan if I ever plan on getting. Let's call it a end time target. What do I want to do in these end times? Well, I want to go through the tribulation and I want to see all the vials and no. An end time target. In the book of Matthew, in view of the scriptural text that we read tonight, it was Jesus who presented to us a parable in concerns to the kingdom of heaven. He likened it unto 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, who failed in their bid to set forth a plan. A plan to be ready in the day that the groom would return. Verse 5, the Bible says, well, the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. Come on, you know, Jesus hasn't returned yet. For now, I'm going to continue sowing my wild oats, you know, do what I want to do, whether or not it's right in God's eyes. And when things start getting scary, then I'll set my plan in order to be ready when God is going to return. But in the parable found in Matthew 25, verse 6, the 5 foolish virgins, the one who had taken no oil, were about to be in for a big surprise, a shocker. I don't know why it doesn't leave my consciousness, but it is very, very shocking to me. It is very awakening to me. And yet it happens in people's lives every day. People die and they either go to heaven or they go to hell. They die saved or they die lost. But I don't know if Marie Hartluck got up that morning, said, tonight before church, after church, whatever day it was, I'm going to go to Safeway and I'm going to walk on that parking lot and I'm going to die. I don't know if Patricia's son decided, you know what, tonight when I go to bed, I'm not getting back up. You know what, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm not planning anything right now because I'm just living the way I want. But one day I'll get a plan and I'll put it together. And the doorbell rings and it's God as you opened it and he takes you home. In view of the title of this message thought tonight, the question I am presenting to each of you is the question of, do you have a plan? Do you? Do you have a plan? I never thought of that before. Within your desire to make heaven your home, I hope you understand that in your walking with God and your desire to walk with God, that you will be the one who will at a time or two or three or many a time be the one who, in your walking with God, will going to come face to face with challenges, obstacles in face of your plan. I didn't expect that. Well, that just dropped on my lap. Those whose intent is to thwart you, to get you off of the course of your desire to effectively execute that eternal plan. Driving down the road, and where was it? It was Clinton, or maybe was it Cache Creek? The car died. You have BCAA? No, never thought of that. Do you have any money? No, I was using my debit card. Do you have a cell phone? It's dead. Well, what are you going to do? Suddenly, you get fired. You lose your job. You get sick. You lose your eyesight. Do you have a plan? What are you going to do now? Are you going to run from God? You're going to turn to God. What do I do now? I just have a breakup in my family. My kids just became rebellious and took off and moved away. Things got bad. You're walking along with God. Let me tell you, I know God knows everything. I do understand that. But I wonder, did he really know that Adam and Eve were going to eat of that tree? Or did he expect them to love him enough not to? But when they did, he said, in the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. Done deal. Finished process, honey. Out the door. Well, what do I do now? They're not the only ones that are going to come along. I got to fix this. I have to have another plan. I have to have an alternate plan. I have to have an idea of what I'm going to do if this hits me. I've been a time or two where I suddenly lost my employment. I had bills, I had loans, I had credit cards, I had at one time a mortgage, I had all these. Well, what are you going to do now? But let's flip that coin away from the natural world and go to the spirit. When your life turns upside down, when the devil comes in like a flood, what are you going to do? That's it, I'm quitting church. I'm not going to pray anymore. I sure ain't going to call a pastor. He'll just tell me, I need to pray through. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, hang on. Let's go on the record here. I've been, I've repented. I got baptized in Jesus' name, got the Holy Ghost. I got big news for anybody who wants to rest on that little idea. You're not there yet. The devil can throw you a curveball. He can get in your face. He's going to mess your plan. And when he tries to mess your plan, then you might think this is a repetitive word. Then what is your plan when he wrecks that plan? What are you going to do now? See, in your initial declaration to God, it was you who declared, yes, I want to live my life for God. That was an easy decision, wasn't it? Yeah. I'm willing to give. I'm willing to sacrifice. But in view of your personal declaration before God, I wonder tonight if it is, maybe it's been you who, on a daily basis, who's put forth a plan in order to continue in your life doing what you declared, what it is that you want to do, to live your life for God until the day God calls you home. Stupid alarm. Look at that. It's 35 minutes past my alarm. I got time for... I can't pray today. My Bible? Ha! I gotta make money. Things change. Suddenly, alterations come to your plan. Unexpected. Can you work tonight? It's Wednesday. I haven't worked all week. What am I going to do? What's my plan? See, good intentions, your intentions might be that would initiate, sets the course towards your goal. You know that? Do you hear that? Without a clearly defined plan, without you purposely, you've heard that word before? Intending on arriving at this goal, without a plan, without a countermeasure plan, there is a good chance that the day is going to come in your life if you're not careful, where it'll be you, for whatever reason, you might be, for one reason or another, be the one who forfeits that ultimate plan. 37 years ago, I started walking this walk. And during that 37 years, I had more hiccups and corners and curves and ditches and mountains and all kinds of stuff. Why are you still living for God? Because that's my plan. I don't build my relationship with God around this world. I build this world around my relationship with God. Without a plan, it could become you who loses sight, who forgets your purpose as well as your focus of your eternal goal. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they said, hey, you can get a good job, you know, pays good money. You're gone 40, you're on 4, you're off 4, you're on 4, you're off 4. Hey, that sounds like money. Right on. Cash. Ha ha. Okay, let's go. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay, you're off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Gone. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Go back Sunday. Sooner or later, you're going to start. That's how many midweeks have you just lost? How many Sundays you? Oh, but I'm making money. But I thought you said your focus was God. I thought you said your purpose was to be faithful for God. Suddenly, your focus changed. Why? Because the bucks came into the mind, or the idea of a cool job. Maybe you could fly there and fly back. Do you know, at one time, about 8 years ago, I was offered a job. I flew out Sunday night, got church. And I was gone Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Flew in Saturday, and I was back for Sunday. Ha-ha! Pretty cool, eh? Pastor who? My focus, my purpose. No one in their living for God, my friend, in their life, as they live for God, they live with the intention of one day quitting. I didn't start to quit. But without you purposely, pardon me, setting in your life a clear, defined plan, how are you going to stay the course? One that is vital to the completion of your eternal goal. Could it become you without that plan? It becomes one who loses sight. You quit. You stay. You quit to stay on course. You quit it. Other things get in the way. Well, I know church used to be important. It's not no more. I used to be faithful in my giving. I'm not no more. I got bills. I got bills. I got things to do. I got things. I have to have my free time. Listen, Friday and Saturday, selling chocolate bars. I'm glad for this. I'm not saying I don't want this. I am very thankful. I got 3 Bible studies, 2 counseling sessions, preparing for messages, working with people during the day, putting life together, helping my wife in the daycare. Friday and Saturday, what? Kidding. But my plan says keep the doors open, the air conditioning moving, and comfortable seats in the building. Who wants to go back to set up, take down, set up, take down, set up, take down, put away, drive away? No. But I got a plan. I have a goal. I want to see revival. That's it. I'm quitting all my Bible studies. Done. I don't want any more counseling. I'm going to talk to nobody. And I'm going to phone sermon.com and get all my messages for you guys. It'll be plucked up by the roots, but at least I could read it to you. We'll join the United Church. They get theirs sent to them, I heard. Everybody's on the same plan. Forget it. I'm talking to you tonight about the many what-ifs, as well as the multiple obstacles that you will face. Don't kid yourself. Along the way, this walk with God, you're going to be, try to be diverted, put off, change course. In terms of who or what it is that tries to get in your way, starting with your job, well, how about your family? What about your friends? What about in view of the many trials and tests that life itself will most definitely throw at you? The question you need to answer in and during such times is just exactly, what is your plan? I didn't care, and I love my mom. She's 83 this year, just turned. But when they come to visit, or if I go to visit them, I tell them, I'm a pastor. I'm faithful to my church. I'm going to come back home. I'm going to be here. My brother's down there all the time. He's not in ministry. He just attends church. But you know what? He can do what he wants. This is my plan. This is my purpose. This is the sheep of the pasture that God put me into. What would you think? I'm gone 1 month, back a month, 1 month, back a month. You know what? Sooner or later, you get sick and tired of the floating, free-floating preacher. And you say, you know what? We need a pastor and not a traveling evangelist. Faithful. You're going to need to establish a prayer life. Look at sister. He's swearing. A prayer life. I prayed for my food last week. Some of you eat it so fast you haven't got time to pray for it because it hits your stomach before you can find it. You need to familiarize yourself with the Word of God. Oh, he's going over the top. I got to read my Bible? I have no time for my cell phone. Familiarize yourself with the Word of God and what it is that God and His Word calls for in your life to do. I didn't know that was in there. You need to focus on your plan of being faithful. That's a strong consideration that you must be able to navigate in view of your general life. I need to be faithful. Faithful. As well as concerns to what can get in the way. I don't care if you come to visit. If it's church tonight, you got two choices. And not just because I'm pastor. You can come with me or stay here until I get back. Unless I'm on a holiday, if it's a Sunday, I'm going to do my best to be here. Mm-hmm. There has to be a purpose for me to go, why I'm leaving. Otherwise, I'm here. Why? That's my plan. And I want you here tonight, if you're adversary, don't forget this. If your adversary, the devil, has anything to do with altering the plans and your purpose of your desire and your goal of making heaven your home, if he can, you know how you let him? You open the door. Satan will be the one to try to lead you astray in order for him to get you off the course of your goal. The devil will be the one to seek, if he can, to discover in your life, oh, catch this one and write it down. He will seek if he can discover in your life whether or not you in your life truly have within you a determined intent of attaining your goal that you said you would plan to attain. Aren't you a little tired? That pastor got mad at you at the beginning service, or he wasn't mad. He just, well, why can't I do what I want? Yeah, you don't have to. I don't? Who's that? Your old friend. You can do whatever you want. Go where you want. I can? Yeah. Hey, Eve, look at that tree. Woohoo! That's pretty nice fruit. Yeah, I know. You know why God don't want you to have that? Ha ha! You know why this church, you know, it's got standards, rules, and salvation, and you got to be faithful. Oh, my goodness, throw it out the door. You can do what you want. And go too. Oh. It's going to be a daily. Did you hear that? That's a mean thing to say. It's going to be a weekly and a year after year purposed intent that you'll need to be set upon. A plan. You mean every day? Can I throw one at you? Paul said he died daily. Man, that's 365 deaths a year. What did he die to? The flesh. Every day. Have you prayed today? If I went around the room and asked you how much time you spent in prayer, should I do that? No, I won't. When was the last time you fasted? How many verses of Scripture today or this week have you already read? This is Wednesday. How much time have you spent with God outside of church services? Nosy. What's it up to you for? I just want to know your plan. Could you imagine I only saw you folks twice a week and that was it? Got not involved in your life. Leave me alone. I got my own purpose. And then you do the same thing with your wives and your husbands or your family. Have nothing to do with them for months. Excuse me? Are you new here? Have I met you before? Oh. You're that guy's wife, right? That's what I thought. Sorry, I just had a brain burp there. If I don't plan on spending time with God, if I don't take the time to say, no, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to be faithful to the church, I'm going to be willing to sacrifice, to give, I'm going to do these things because my plan one day is to get up there. And I'm not going to get there going, hey, hey, notice the shirt, you like the tie, you know I'm coming, right? No. Daily, weekly, I got to stay on task, I got to stay on target. And all but a daily basis, it would be good for you to ask yourself these questions. Ready? Daily, ask yourself these questions. Really, look in the mirror. Man, are you ever cute? You know how pretty you are? Well, go ahead and ask. What am I doing? More importantly, why am I doing this? I'm talking about God, right? What do I sacrifice? Why do I give as I do? Why am I in my life so intent on living a separate life unto God? What really is the purpose that I'm willingly choose to deny myself and that I daily have chosen to take up my cross in order to follow after Jesus? Why? I'll help maybe some of you. I don't know. Ready? I'll tell you why. It's your fault. You make me. Yeah, he was at my house last night with placards and signs. Get back to church. Get back to church. Why? I'm serious. Why do you do this? We can't have preacher religion. You got to do it for him, not him. I do it for God. I live my life for God. I came up against a very hard time in my life, in my young walking with God, just about 9 years. Well, that's a long time. No, it ain't. Not to get whooped. Anyhow, 9 years, when the person that's supposed to be leading me says to me, why are you living for God? You need to get out of here. I'll drive you out. Why are you doing? And I said, I am living for God because I want to live for God. I'm doing what I'm doing because I want to. You can do what you want. You're responsible to God, but I want to live. That's my plan. I don't want to go down there. One day I want to go up there. And the only way I'm going to get there is to set forth a plan. Amen. Amen. What I plan to do. In the last 37, almost 37 years this year, I've lived for God. One thing I have become aware of, and this is very true, pastoring really throws it in your face. What I'm aware of is where there lacks a person, in a person's life, a plan that calls one for one that has been made to be purposed in their bid to make or achieve the goal called heaven. That without a plan, I've watched people in this, like precious faith as we have, I've watched them sway. I've seen how that their desires, that they had become altered. They were redirected. The primary reason for this is because of the fact in their lives, they failed to possess a defined plan and they failed to follow it. There's an old saying that says, if you know where you're going, people get out of your way. If you don't know where you're going, everybody's full of suggestions on how you can get there. I watch people. Well, Pastor, I'm sorry, but I just can't pray. You know, I'd come to church, but I'll miss my soap opera. You know, I have to leave right away after church. I've got no time for altar call. And I'm sorry, I can't be here. I can't afford to give to God because then I have to go without all my stuff I want to buy. Don't you hear me loud and clear? Do you have a plan? Do you? Defining the reasons, I do this because, I sacrifice because, I give because, I live because. My end goal, my purpose, my plan is to make heaven my home. Do you? Do you? Luke records the words of Jesus in chapter 14, beginning at verse 28. Listen to this. This is cool. Luke 14, 28. But which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Devising a plan. Yeah, okay. Oh, wow, that, yeah. 29 says, less happily, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, which is bad or no planning at all, that behold, it began to mock him. Yeah, sure, you are going to live your life for God. Look at you now. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm living for God, that's it. Throwing everything away. Yep. Oh, where did all that come back into your house from? I thought you said you threw it away. You know how many times I walked in that life? Talked to people. Where did that come from? Oh, would you know? I got it at the sugar shed. You should have left it at the sugar shed. Verse 30. As the people all around began to say, this man began to build and was not able to finish. See, that's why I've taken the time to stop in order to ask you tonight the question, do you have a plan? Oh, I'm going to walk with God, yeah. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. That's a big ditch. What do I do now? I don't know, what's your plan? I don't know. Very quickly, off-center and focus a little bit. I was in grade 10. Grade 10! How old are you in grade 10? 18? 17? 21? Maybe if you got put back. But anyhow, 18, 17, 17, we'll call it 16? 16? All right, sold to the lady of the glasses. 16 years old, sitting in grade 10 class, my teacher pulled 30 of the students to an attention of this. And he went around the room. I'll tell you, there was more fools in that classroom, and I was one of them. And he walked up to me, right in front of 29 other kids. Could you imagine this? He said, so, what are you going to be in 5 years? Probably in jail. I mean, I don't know. Broke? Pregnant? Well, I couldn't do that. Anyhow, somebody has to take care of that one for me. What are you going to do? I didn't know. Dude, I couldn't live for the next day. I didn't know whether I was going to John's and Steve's on Sunday or not. What are you doing? If somebody walked up to you, the Bible says we got to be able to give an answer to the hope that lieth within us. Why are you living for God? What are you doing? How come you dress like that? How come you live like that? Church on Wednesday and Sundays, and the guy, you know, the prayer coordinator, he has the gall to say 6 to 6:30 on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I have a life. You know, Wednesdays, you want to get this one? 6 to 7 is prayer. Oh, my goodness. Thank God 30 minutes is of my choice. But as a prayer coordinator, when he started this back, I think it was August, he had a plan. And we're seeing a lot of this plan come to fruition. I have a plan. This is where character comes in, I believe. This is where being accountable to yourself first and then to God in your life that sets your mind like a flint. It's you who sets your heart upon nothing less than attaining and retaining your plan of eternal goal. That's why you've got to have a plan. Intend it. Boy, you're going to go to sleep tonight and maybe one of you will wake up and go, I have a plan! What? Hey, what? I don't know, I got a plan, okay? Listen, he really drove it into my head. I hope you do. Have a plan. I know where I'm going. I have a plan on how to get there. In this life which we live as we plan, just as it says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and 10. I hope I'm not boring you to death. You got to have a plan. Guess what? If I see you there, you will have had a plan. The same one I do. I'm going to get there. Ecclesiastes 9:10, it says, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. That's why you got to have a plan. I'm rounding the corner. Okay. I want you all to know that the only way you or I or anyone for that matter is going to attain all that God has promised, including your opportunity of spending your eternity with him, is if you in your life understand the need as well, the necessity of having a plan. Got a flat tire tonight on the way to church. That's it. I'm not walking to church. And the wife says, honey, it's only 3 blocks away. I don't care. I have to have a plan. If this happens, I'll do this. If that happens, I'll do that. But no matter what goal, straight and narrow towards my goal.
Not broad and wide.
Straight and narrow is the way. Sister Zotsman, if you could hear us, it'll only be 100 more minutes, less a lot. What I'm presenting to you tonight in view of your eternal goal, hear me now, is the absolute necessity. You need to. You need to. Making, devising, if you haven't already done it, setting forth a plan and how you're going to arrive. What would you do if somebody walked up to you and said, as far as God's concerned, where are you going? Oh, well, I hope heaven. Okay. Give me 5 points. I'll go around the room right now. Ask everybody 5 points and how you're going to get there. I don't know.
You better know.
In closing, that's one reason why Isaiah believes that Matthew, last scripture for you folks, Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, he took the time to write the words of Jesus in Matthew 22, 14. As Jesus declared, many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. They didn't have a plan. The road got too steep. There were too many trials. I couldn't believe all the problems of life. I didn't think that would happen. That's why you must have a plan. Life will seek to distract you in order to get you off the course of your goal. The Spirit of God, through the message you're hearing tonight, desires for you to set and to purpose that of your having a plan of getting there. Get a plan in order. I don't find the necessity of a plan, Pastor. I'm just living day by day. Good luck, honey. Here he comes out of the side view, blindsided. Let's stand. Starting tonight, if it is you who has just been drifting along without a plan, from this day forward, why don't you determine in your life not just to set an order, but to produce, to follow a plan that you're going to get where you want to go one day. You need to folks, if we go into the end times as deep as what some people believe in the scripture is going to happen, do you have a wallet? I don't want it. Do you have one? Do you have a credit card? Do you have cash? Yeah, too bad for you, stupid. You ain't got no money now. Give me your right arm. I want your right hand. Okay, I'm going to have to put this mark on him. Can I mark your hand? Okay, never mind. You got a nice hand. Let me put it in your forehead. What are you going to do now? I guess I'll trust God. Okay, let's trust God together. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I haven't got a plan. The Bible says, whatever the hand finds to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to still make it there. What's going to happen? And this is a horrible thing to say, but it's true. What would happen if you were hauled into prison with your entire family and one by one the enemy tried to kill them? I talked about this in my Bible study the other night. I asked a young person, I said, if somebody kills you, how many times can they kill you? And they said, well, just once. So after you're dead, there's nothing they can do. I said, the Bible says, don't fear him who can kill the body, but fear ye him who can take your body and soul and cast it into hell. Well, I had better have a plan. What am I going to do in that day when I'm called? Deny Christ or throwing you off the ship. We're going to put you off this building. We're going to take your life. That'll never happen. This is the 21st century. Well, why did all the Christians in years gone by go through so many horrible things? You just read in the history books. You'll find out it was I'm not saying a nasty thing, but it was a bloody trail. I didn't expect that. Tomorrow morning, your bank account's closed. They're foreclosing your loan. You got to be at the bank at 9 o'clock to take your mark. What are you going to do? I don't know. You better have a plan. Do you have a plan? What do you plan on doing? Church, as the days go darker, the church gets brighter. You come across people and say, what do I do?
I don't know.
I have a plan. Make your way to the altar. Give your life to God. Walk with me and God will provide for you. How about it tonight? Why don't you talk to God? Say, God, I never heard it of that fashion. I never thought of it like that before. I need to be purpose. I need to be focused. I need to be intent. I want to go to heaven one day. I got to make it.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided
tonight
to follow Jesus.
My decision, my choice.